What's up, Tashi?
We're in Inaya, in Rav Kook's commentary on the Agadata, Masechet Shabbat, Daf Yud, on page 6. The Gemara reads as follows. Tanu Rabbanan. Sha'a.
You want to look at that together?
Sha'a Rishona Ma'achar Odin. This is a continuation of what we saw last week, that the judges would sit on the Beit Din. They would eat in the sixth hour. And now we're going to see the source. Where do they get the sixth hour from? Tanu Rabbanan. The sixth hour means from the beginning of the day. Sixth hour is Chatzalta Yom, midday, around 12 noon. Tanu Rabbanan. Our rabbis teach.
Would that be the end in the sixth hour would be...
We'll say.
Right.
Tanu Rabbanan. Sha'ar Rishona Ma'achal Lodim. Rashi explains, what is ma'achal odim? Uma shekorim cannabis, what we call in English cannibals. Ve'ochli adam him, ve'him rav tanim. The lodim, they would eat in the first hour, these cannibals, they would eat in the first hour of the day. Shnia, ma'achal listim. The listim, robbers, they would eat in the second hour. Shlishit, ma'achal yorshim. In the third hour, eat the Yorshim, those who Rashi explains, Yorshehom Rav, sons of millionaires who inherited their wealth, they don't have to work for a living, they eat in the third hour, they don't have to wake up so early, but they eat in the third hour, relatively early. Shelo tarchubo, ve'en asukim ve'doagim lashut achar mezonotam ve'laso bimlacha, they don't have to wake up so early to go to work. And therefore, they eat a little later when they wake up. Those who would inherit money from their parents. Revi'it machal po'alim. The workers eat in the fourth hour of the day, at about 10 o'clock. Chamishit ma'achal kol adam. The fifth hour, that is when most people eat their meal. The Gemara asks, Eni, ma pitam? V'hamar Rav Papa revi'it zman se'uda lechol adam. Hare, you just said that most people eat in the fifth hour, like 11 o'clock. Now, we remember that Rav Papa taught that they eat in the fourth hour, like 10 o'clock. Ela revi'it ma'achal kol adam. But what we really mean, what we should really teach, is that the fourth hour, that's when most people eat. Chamishit, in the fifth hour, like 11 o'clock, ma'achal po'alim. That's when the workers eat. By the way, anybody who's done physical work in Lahavdil with the Arabs, remember when we were down in Sinai, we used to work shoulder to shoulder with the Bedouins, they don't eat breakfast. They eat at around 10:30, and it's like a brunch. And then afterwards, when they get home, they eat supper. They eat like two meals a day. And apparently that's what the Poalim used to do, the workers. Shishit, the sixth hour, ma'achal talmidei chachamim. That's when the scholars, the rabbis, that's when they eat. Mikan ve'elech, somebody who waits and doesn't eat till 12 noon, kizorek even lachemet, is as if he's throwing a rock into a pit. What does that mean? Rashi explains, Kizarek even lechemet, v'kashe leguf, it's unhealthy. Right? If the body has been hungry for so long, and then all of a sudden you eat something, it can even cause harm. And another explanation, lo kashe v'lo yafe. That, another explanation is that it doesn't hurt, but it doesn't help. Amar Abaye. Lo amran ela delota imidi betzafra. What we just said now, that it's not good to fast half the day and then eat. What is that talking about? If you didn't taste anything in the morning, aval ta imidi betzafra. But if you did taste something in the morning, let lemba, then there's nothing wrong with waiting to eat till that much later, and then it doesn't hurt your health. Regarding the last line, we'll talk about that next time. That's not our topic. Today's topic is, what is this idea of the six different times that people used to eat? Rav Kook in Pisgah Yud Aleph goes according to Rav Papa and the final reading of the Gemara. That again, just to review, in the first hour of the day, that's when the cannibals or the wild people eat. The second hour of the day, that's when the robbers eat. The third hour of the day, that's where the wealthy people, the inheritors, eat. In the fourth hour, that's when most people eat. The fifth hour, the workers, the laborers. And in the sixth hour, the scholars. Shesh madrigoten b'matzav ha'adam. There are six levels of human beings, Rav Kook says, which are symbolized by the six different times that the people eat. Shal pian yatek mimatzavu agufani hativi v'itgabru alav tzorachav enoshim lefi midatam ad sheitacher etzlo hamilui shel hadrisha agufanit. And the different levels are the climbing in the levels out of one's animalism. In other words, animals, first thing they do, after they've slept, whatever, 6-8 hours, they're hungry. They don't do nitilat yadayim, they don't say modeh ani, they don't say good morning, they just go right to the food and eat. The more godly someone is, and the less animalistic one is, he waits that much more to eat. Hamadriga rishona hakrova biyoter lematzav habehemot. The first level, that which is almost animalistic, who a matzava praut, these wild people, or the cannibal, or the primitive people, she'en sham da'aga enoshit klal, ki drisha tafkid hakeva velo yotar. They really are almost animalistic, and that's why they eat in the first hour of the day, because that's what their life is about. You wake up, you're hungry, you go straight to the food. Al ken sha'a rishona ma'achal ludim. Hapra'im shelo hichnisu atzman klal tachat sevel atarbut enoshit. These primitive people, who have nothing to do with culture, or with manners, nimus, they just go straight to the food. And obviously that's the lowest level. In other words, it's very clear from the rabbis that this first most animalistic level, that's the lowest. And the Talmidei Chachamim, the scholars, those who can wait and don't have a problem with that self-discipline, right? Their whole life isn't just to eat. It's like the oldest question, do you eat to live or do you live to eat? And that's really what we're talking about. There are plenty of people who live to eat. And the rabbis, the Talmidei Chachamim, they're on the later scale. They eat when you have to eat. Al ken, going back to the cannibals, HaTviyah HaTivit HaGufit Hi Etzlam HaRishona B'Madrega V'Kodemet B'Zman. The first thing that they have on their mind is food, and they go right to it. Achar Shlilat HaTarbut Yavo HaChilek HaEnoshi SheNichnas Kvar B'Chlal Ba'Alei Tarbut. After the most basic primitive men is the second level, is the robbers, the bandits, who live as bandits. And like in the olden days, where the bandits used to attack caravans or convoys or ships, and they would go in large groups. You wouldn't have like one mugger who goes, but they would go as a group. And they have a certain amount of culture to them. It's a robber's culture. And I remember as a kid there was a movie, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, and they had rules there. Right, and there were rules who can challenge the leader, rules how to divvy up the spoils, etc., etc. In other words, Rav Kook points out that these robbers, they do have a certain amount of culture. They're not like cannibals or primitive. They have like negative rules regarding their very basic of their life is almost animalistic. Nevertheless, Chazal tell us it's a higher level because they do have some kind of culture. They're living as a social group. Not like this one cannibal who's just bichlal. Eating is the type of thing that you can't be motzi somebody else. I can't say that I'll eat for you and be motzi you your chova. Right? Eating is a very personal thing. Right? And that's why it's interesting that Rav Kook deals with the second group as a tarbut, as a culture, as a group of listim.
How does Rav Kook see from the Lashon of the Gemara that that the second group is a group and the first one is singular, because they're both in the plural. Udim is also in the Gemara as a plural.
It's not because it's written in the plural. But we're talking about the cannibal. That's what I just said now. When a person eats, the whole topic is eating. That's what the Ludkim, the cannibals, have on their mind. They are defined by what they eat. A person, when he eats, he's eating. He has his mouth, his hand, his stomach. The Listim is a group of people, a group of robbers, right? Who do have some kind of culture, even an abnormal culture, but at least they eat normal food. Achar shlilat atarbut yavua chilek enoshish nechnas kvar bechlal balei tarbut. They have some semblance of nimus, of culture. They don't have people. V'yodim kvar chilek gadol mehadrishot enoshiyot shein chutz lemilui hakeres hapshuta. As they have, again, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, or anybody who's read books about pirates, they live as a chevra, as some kind of social group, and they are definitely have a human side to them. Afal pi she'akoach musari lo ha'ala leim klal la'archikam miyot shkuim b'tzorachim ha'bemeim ha'gufanim levadam. Even though they're not that much better than the first group, מכל מקום, כוח התרבות לבדו כבר מספיק להעתיק את האדם מעט מלך וגוע בהמי. The fact that they don't eat human beings, the fact that they probably cook their food, and they eat, and they live as a group.
They talk to each other.
They talk to each other. ולהוריד מעלה אחת את ערך הקישור לצורכי הגוף הגסים. They, at least, are one step higher, and they also, this is midbate, is expressed by the fact that they can also wait an hour before they eat. Okay, which is also a certain madriga. Right? Like we've always mentioned, there are a lot of different madrigot, as Yehuda Cook used to say. You have to understand, basara ma'amaro divra ha'olam. And the Maharal explains that the world was created in 10 stages, 10 steps. But we live in a world of stages. And you have to appreciate that even these robbers are on a higher level than the cannibals. And they can wait an hour. Ki'ilu ein davar acher bolam zuato, as opposed to the first group. Al ken alistim im kol ro'a musariyutam, with all of the evil and the bad of these robbers, mikol makom hemichlal anashim balei tarbut. Elis, they have some kind of culture, i.e. humanness, i.e. they're not animals. She'af al pi shemishtamshim hem tarbutam lira'a. Even though they use their culture for bad, a gang of bandits. V'amusar lo pa'al aleihem uma al orchot chayehem. And regarding the second, notice the Rav Kupo is all, the whole article is talking about two topics, culture and musar. So these bandits, they don't have culture. In other words, they have a bare semblance of culture, and it definitely has not influenced their musar, their ethics, their morals, right? They're bandits. Mikom akom kvar ya'atku ma'ad. The fact that they do have a semblance of culture, even if it's a negative culture, culture is important. And this is something that we spoke about last year, that Rav Kook is one of the first rabbis to talk about the importance of culture. As culture, right? Even if it's a bad culture, at least it's not animalistic. Obviously, if it's a good culture, then it's that much better. That's what we'll talk about soon. Mikom akom kvar yatku ma'at me'ateva ha'prai ha'gas. They've risen above that wild, crude nature, instinct. She'en lo shum davar ve'inyan zulat ha'beimut she'ba'adam. Like the cannibals, who just have that, they're like human animals.
Well, what did you mean, though, when you said Rav Kook was one of the first rabbis that relate to the issue of culture? How was it not related to before?
Culture in general is a relatively new topic. When we talk about culture, Rav Kook does relate to culture in the Inaya, and regarding literature and theater and social groups and things like that, something which most rabbis didn't deal with.
No, okay.
Yeah.
Am I missing something here, or has Rav Kook been going for about 15 lines, repeating the same point about 4 times?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen a Kiddush in about
It's, if you want to go over it again, maybe there's a diuk, but the general direction, you know, I think is, I didn't notice a chidush in the last, ואם כבר יש להם צדדים אחרים אנושיים שעומדים יותר קרוב ומרום בליבם מתאבות האכילה הפשוטה השפילה ובאמית לגמרי על כן שנייה מאכל וסטים, that's the second level. אומנם, האנשים ששום דבר מעיק אין להם להמשיכם מנטייתם אל צורכי החומר הגס כי אם התרבות בראשונה בכללה right? If we're talking about the robbers who just have that minimal element of culture, in tigborat ha-tviyot ha-achirot, if we add on to that the demand, the strengthening of the demand ha-achirot of other human needs, ha-noshiyot, af al pi she'inam mitzad ha-musar, even if they're not moral demands or ethical demands, aval he mitzad ha-teva ha-noshi, but they're human demands. What does he mean, human demands? He explains. Shekvar margish lo tzurachim achirim chutz lema'achalo. Somebody who has other things on his mind aside from food. Whereas even when robbers, they have a kind of culture, but their culture is based on money, on stealing. It's the same animalistic instincts, a little better than the first group, but not that much better. Okay, so now we're moving on.
They can have a dream of retiring and building a nice house or something.
Well, now we're moving on to the third group, those who are retired at the age of 25.
Oh, okay.
Okay, those who inherit the money.
Okay. The son of the pirate.
Okay. You know, שמרגיש כי לא צורכים אחרים חוץ למאכלו, ואחר כך הכניסה בעול המוסר הראוי לכל אדם ישר. Here again, Rav Kook deals with both aspects. Somebody who has human needs aside from animalistic needs, some kind of culture, in addition to ethics, the ethics of a normal, straight, honest person, as opposed to the previous group who were dishonest people. Now we're moving up to the third group, those who eat in the third hour, who are honest people. Af al pi she'ol ha-chayim tzorachav da'agotav lo yachbidu aleihem. Notice, Rav Kook sees it as a negative thing, somebody who inherited his money. You know, if he's going to sit and learn all day, he would fall into the sixth category, which is obviously good. But somebody who's not learning, but somebody, and he's also not working.
He's a batlan.
He's watching television all day.
He's
not contributing to the culture. He's not contributing to society. מקום מקום כבר יש להם שני ערכים המרחיקים אותם מההבהלה אל חפץ הגופי הגס. At least he doesn't run to eat the first thing in the morning, like the first two groups. Nevertheless, again, it's very clear that Rav Kook, especially from what we see later on, is shtupping those wealthy people, or the aristocrats, who you could say that they're not preoccupied with money because they already have everything that they need, but they're not that much better off than the first two groups. Whereas it's very clear that Rav Kook sees that those who contribute, who work for a living, those who contribute to society, as we'll see, they're on clearly a higher level as opposed to Tevya, who wanted to be a rich man and said, would it spoil some vast eternal plan if I were a wealthy man, or if in Hebrew, if I were a Rothschild, and I would inherit the money from my grandfather Anshel,
so what Rav Kook is saying
is that yes, it's not a good thing to be wealthy and to inherit money without working.
The only reason that these people behave decently, in other words, is that they can afford to.
Yeah, but that's also a madrig. Yeah. Vinei ha-yorshim. These inheritors, those who were born into money, b'tor anashim yisharim ba'alei nimus, they have the culture, they're well-mannered. Pa'ala aleihem atarbut, this culture, again, that's the first topic. V'gam ha-musar, that's the second topic. Remember, throughout the top, throughout this hadraga, this climbing of the steps, the two topics which Rav Kook relates to is A, culture, how much culture you have, and B, how ethical or moral you are. Okay? And these people have basic culture. V'gama musar lachnis bem hamun gadol shel dvarim masikim otam mitzad ha'enoshiyut. They're stam people who live, they don't steal. Ad she'erech ha'achila ha'gasa yoredet etzlam shtei madregot. The crude eating already goes down two stages. In other words, they wait 2 hours to eat. Mitzad ha'tarbut mitzad ha'musar. Regarding these two topics of culture and morals. Omna. Kol eile yaspiku rak lemisha etzem ha'echreach shel koshi ha'mitziyut shel etzem ha'ma'achal ha'enoshi lo yachbid aleihem me'uma. Again, kol eile yaspiku, this level is enough, rak lemisha etzem ha'echreach shel koshi ha'mitziyut shel etzem ha'ma'achal ha'enoshi lo yachbid aleihem me'uma. Those who don't have the difficulties that most people have to have to work for a living. In other words, the first three groups, the cannibals, they don't have to work for a living, because there are plenty of people around to eat. The ganavim, the bandits, also don't work constructively for a living. And the third group, the inheritors, they also don't really work for a living. These three people who don't have that responsibility on their minds, we're now rising to a higher group of those who do. Aval kol adam ha'amel lefihu, right? Rav Kook is quoting a pasuk in Kohelet that says that a good, healthy person works for his food, as opposed to the first three groups. Hinei ha'amal atzmo hanitzrach. By the way, maybe I'll just add parenthetically, Rav Kook in several other places talks about the importance of good, honest labor as opposed to laziness, and which leads to snobbiness. And it's interesting, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, one of the Amoraim, he says that a person who has no land, a man without a woman is not a man. That's a famous quote in Masechet Yevamot, Daf Samech Gimel. And he adds the next line, a man without land is not a man. Just like a person has to get married, a person has to own land. That's very clear from the context. He's not talking about real estate. He's talking about working the land. And if you check out Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat's quotes over the Shas, you'll find that he makes an ideology out of being, out of not being rich. In Masechet Sotah, Daf Hey, there's a whole list, there are like 10 quotes from this Rabbi Elazar, where he talks about the pitfalls of being wealthy. He says it brings you to arrogance, and do anything not to be arrogant. And God and the arrogant person can't be in the same town. And basically, we see Rabbi Elazar, but also Mesilat Yesharim. In many places, the Chavot Al Vavon also talks about this, that it's not good to be wealthy.
You should work and not succeed?
No, you should work and succeed for what you need. For what you need. He brings a pasuk, the Chavot Al Vavod brings a pasuk from Mishlei.
We could have in the middle of the day learning all of the other customers.
There's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, Osher Varash Al Tidneni. Don't make me wealthy and don't make me poor. It's not good to be wealthy because you become arrogant and you pat yourself on the back and you forget God and become snobby.
Even if you give a lot of money to stuff out?
Well, that's the exception for the rule. But the Sifrei Musar really stress that wealth is a test that most people fail.
Most people are wealthy.
Most people are
right, but those who are wealthy fail the test. And that's why, and that's what Chavot Al Vavot stresses, that as opposed, for sure, in Western society, we always thought that it's good to be wealthy. From the Sifrei HaMusar, it's very clear that it's not good to be wealthy. There are those that do stand the test, but they're the Yotzimi HaKlal. You shouldn't try to get into that category.
Well, you have to define wealth.
Money. Those who have a lot of money.
No, but I mean, today, compared to the days when people were 98% of the people in the world were farming for subsistence, we're all considered wealthy.
But the opposite also doesn't follow, but you see, poverty is not a virtue, but on the other hand, in Kiyar Vops, it does say, Pat Bamelach Tochal, the mind of Surat Ishteh, so it kind of makes some virtue out of poverty.
That Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat definitely makes a little virtue out of poverty. The most of the Sifrei HaMusar say middle class is the wealthiest. Nobody says it's going to be wealthy. And I realize that this is a big chidush for all of us who grew up in Western society, that we always thought it's good to be wealthy. And I don't want to start telling stories, but in all of my years, especially if it gets out to the rabbin, the only two people, I won't give too many details, that I ever had to ask to leave a program that I headed were daughters of multi-millionaires who it was so clear that their problem, also religiously, also socially, educationally, it all came from the fact that they were terrible snobs and that they were spoiled rotten. In other words, anybody who meets them could tell right away that these, and they have their nose up in the air, and again, anybody who's worked with youth knows the problem of parents who mean well when they want to give their kids what they ask for, but any parent who never says no to their child is not doing their child a favor. And Rav Kook is very much into that. And again, it's a continuation from the Sifrei HaMusar. The fact that there's some Rennerts and Tannenbaums who do great to give tzedakah, that's fantastic. That everybody knows and everybody worships them and praises them. That we don't need to talk about. What we do need to talk about is the vast majority of the people who are wealthy and do not pass the test. And that's why the Sifrei HaMusar say it's really not good to be wealthy for most people. And again, coming from Western society, this
excess,
is a big
issue. You're talking about having excess wealth beyond what you need even to live. I mean, the above and beyond what the social standard is for being comfortable. I mean, once it was having a house in
I related to your question before.
Fine. Okay.
Middle class is something which changes according to society.
Right.
Ha'echreach mosif ha'atakam yikvul ha'beimot. Here's a very interesting chidush. Rav Kook writes a lot about the hechreach, necessity. Where in English they say necessity is the mother of invention. And Rav Kook writes very often that it's important to remember that God is the one who created these necessities. And even if a person sees a necessity as bidiyavad, as not the best situation, you have to remember who put you into that situation. If there is a God who runs the world, He is the one who knows that for you, this is the best situation. Even though it may halachically not be the best situation, or economically might not be the best situation. But for example, and in this context, what's he referring to? The fact that almost everyone in the world, the norm is that you have to work for a living. Rav Kook says that this is a necessity which is very good and healthy, as opposed to the first three groups. Ha'echreach mosif ha'takam migvul ha'beimot. This necessity that man has to work for a living, that you're not born with enough money in your bank account to survive forever, this lifts man another level above animalism. Sha'echreach limtzol lachmo bidrachim enoshim. The necessity to make a living in human ways, machniso yoter ba'omek ha'chevra uzdarei v'nimoseha. Right? We once mentioned not too long ago in the Shiur, the Gemara, where Rabbi Akiva and Tarnus Ruffles says to Rabbi Akiva, If you Jews think that God is so perfect, yeah, he created the perfect world, yeah. If so, why do you go and mutilate the body through circumcision? Rabbi Akiva answered him, and he served him a plate of flour and a plate of bread, and he asked him, what do you prefer? Obviously, he prefers the bread. He says, if you're so tivoni, if you're so naturalistic, why don't you just eat the flour? Animals eat flour. And again, Rav Kook says, we are not animals. The fact that we wake up and we're...
Animals don't eat flour. Animals eat grain. Animals eat stuff that okay. grows in the field.
You understood the point.
Eat flowers.
Okay.
It's in between.
עד שמתרחקו לאט משיקוע הטבעי המוגבל של צד הבעל חי שבו, עד רביעית מאכל כל אדם. The average person can wait till the fourth hour to eat. He has a lot of things to do. Yeah.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, it's not that the kol adam is choosing to be more on a higher level than, say, the yoresh. They both basically, as far as I understand, eat at their first opportunity, and neither one waits so much as a moment beyond what they need to wait.
But one is a product of necessity.
Right. So, in other words, it's a godly thing.
That's a godly thing.
It's not that the Kol Adam chooses to be more godly. It's just that he's forced to wait longer, and that in itself is a virtue.
Yeah. And it was very often in life the necessity brings out the best in a person, and that's how he runs the show, through natural means, and the most common natural means is necessity. Obviously, when a person chooses to wait or chooses to be that more godly or that less animalistic, you're right, that's a much higher level. Aside from the necessity, לעבוד עבודה בינונית, כפי סיפוק חיית ידו, שמתרחק על ידה האדם ממצב טבעו בתור בעל חי. Right, the necessity that man cannot just make do with natural animalistic food. נוסף על זה עוד שאדם צריך מצד קיבוצו לעבודות מייגעות הרבה, שלא רק לפי ערך הדבר. Now we're moving up to the next level. That there are many people who see, who work hard, not just for what they have to eat, but for larger projects. Shelo rak lefi erech hadavar hamevi oto b'derech yishara el sipuko v'tarfo ya'amol. He doesn't just work in order to have something that day to put in his mouth. That's the normal level. Ki'im, there is a higher level. Sidrei ha'chayim yatilu al chelek mibnei adam la'avod avodot gedolot. These are the poalim, the workers. You have to remember, Rav Kook is writing this at the time of the second aliyah, the socialist aliyah, where the moshavim and the kibbutzim and the idea of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the poalim, that is a very almost sacred word. Right? If we just mentioned Aleph Dalet Gordon, we even made a religion out of labor. Rav Kook definitely sees labor, especially working the Holy Land of Israel, as a virtue. And that's why the Poalim, as opposed to the first opinion in the Gemara, that put them under the regular people, we are now putting them above the regular people. Who are the Poalim, the workers? Those who participate ba'avodot gedolot, ukvedot, bishvil tzorachim rechokim v'rabei inyan, projects, leave note to build, vilin toa to plant, lin soa, traveling, vilichshov kol melechet machshevet. Here he's quoting Bezalel, who the rabbis see as somebody who was a tzaddik, somebody who was, when he built the Mishkan, and he was very talented, the Torah points out not only that he was talented, that he built the house of God, but Rav Kook is pointing out that the talent of building is also something which is a virtue. Again, who gave you that virtue? That's a godly virtue. And when man wants to take upon himself large projects, again, we're talking about a higher level of chevra, of tarbut, of the social, of the culture, right? A higher level of the two topics which we spoke about beforehand. Ze atzara tarbuti mosif la'atik et ha'adam od. Od madrega yetera. Another, this is a one more, one higher level. Mitivu ha'pashut ha'be'imi, from that animalistic level. Ad shemashpil et matzav ha'tzorech ha'pashut shel ha'achila. And this group is willing to push off their meal even another hour. Od me'aracha yoter shfeila ume'achra ketafel. The fact that they wait until the fifth hour to eat, that is showing that they have that much more self-control, that much more self-discipline and idealism, and they're that much less animalistic.
So he really obviously has some degree of sympathy to what we call today socialist ideas. He's open to them.
Very much. Rav Shlomo Zalman Shragai was one of the leaders, not of the Mizrahi, but of Hapoel Mizrahi,
mm-hmm.
which you may remember.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people don't remember the Poel Mizrahi.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my mother was a member there. And by that time, by the time my mother was around, the two had merged. It was Mizrahi, Hapoel Mizrahi. And today, most people don't even know when they see the name Hapoel Mizrahi. They don't, but for the history's purpose, Hapoel Mizrahi was the workers of the Mizrahi.
Mm-hmm.
Mizrahi was the religious party, and the religious workers was Hapoel Mizrahi. That was Shmuel Chaim Landau, that was Rav Shlomo Zalman Shragai. And I have a book where he quotes, it's not mentioned in any of the Sfarim of Rav Kook, but he writes that he once personally asked Rav Kook about his opinion of socialism. And Rav Kook answered him that out of all of the Mishtarim Kalkaliim, out of all of the economic, how do you say,
theories
that we have in the world today, Torah is closer to socialism than the others. The idea of equality, the idea of helping each other, right? Obviously, anybody who knows Baba Kama knows that a person has their own money, right? We don't go so far as to take away people's money and, you know, to go to communism, but the idea of equality and the value of work and labor, etc., is definitely part of the Jewish ideal. Our fathers in the Torah, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they were all laborers. Some as shepherds, some as farmers.
They were pretty wealthy, too.
And some were. And also look at the Ibn Ezra, who writes that the Yitzchak lost all of his money.
Social
justice, correct? Yeah.
Oh, that's not right.
Okay. Chamishit ma'achal poalim. Ela ha'ovdim lo rak bishvil erech achilatam v'tzorchei atzmam. The fifth hour, those of the workers who don't just work for themselves to eat. Again, that's most people work to eat, which is also better than the first three groups. But here is a group who works for society as part of a larger project, as part of a national project, not just to eat, v'tzorchei atzmam, not just for themselves, ki ingam kefi erech mishadlot lev ha'adam ha'tarbuti. Cultured man wants to live in, not just to have bread to eat, but to have a comfortable life, to have a more cultured life, not just the minimum. Shetzorachav merubim ma'od, right? Cultured man has that much more needs. V'chirubam hem omdim lemala mikvula bal chaya shel ha'adam. And most of the needs that human beings have are definitely higher than animalistic needs. There is notice, Rav Kook is saying that even though we managed fine for 5,000 years without telephones, without electricity, he's saying that the fact that technology and electricity and telephones and all these things which far remove us from animals, these are good things. Because they remove us from animals, and it's natural for man to want to live a more cultured and a more comfortable life. Again, not wealth, not individual wealth, as we saw those wealthy people of Kook puts down, but to work for society and for mankind as a whole, that is clearly a higher level that moves us above from animals. What was Adam HaRishon commanded? Le'ovda u'lishomra. Right? Man was meant to work, or as it says in Eov, Adam la'amil yulad. Man was created was created for work, for hard labor. It's not good to be lazy. It's not good to be b'chusar mas. How do you say without a
purpose?
Without a purpose.
Sorry, can I ask one more question?
Sure. And again, just to sharpen the point, there are two points here: the ethical and moral point that everybody knows is important. The chidush that you may not have known before learning this piska is the cultural and economic value that Rav Kook is giving to man as something that separates man and makes him that much more godly and that much less animalistic.
I don't know if I'm misinterpreting the Lashon, but I'm finding it difficult to understand how what we would call Poalim, sort of laborers, are on a higher level than the average working person, particularly because what it seems to be from what Rav Kook is saying is that what puts the Poalim on the higher level is that they're working on long-term projects which are for the benefit of the klal and the tzibur. That would suggest to me either an architect or people who are taking risks, maybe not to get a reward unless something succeeds, as opposed to a day laborer. A guy turns up, works on the building of some project, but only gets rewarded. He gets rewarded whatever happens. As long as he builds his bricks, he gets. Are we talking about that guy, the guy who does the everyday little piece of work, or are we talking about the guy who's visionary at the top?
Again, like Rav Kook said, he defined what's a higher level and what's a lower level. And the more you are part of a larger project, something which helps the nation, the klal, the community, you're that much higher.
Even though you're only worrying about your own, putting your own bread on the plate for your family.
Somebody who's doing that is on the lower level.
Right, but even though he's, what I'm saying is, a person who's working, like, could be working on the Hoover Dam, he signed up because he's getting paid $40 a week, and that's it.
Just like with mitzvot, the same thing with ideals. The more a person has kavanot, good intentions, and identifies with the ideology, it's that much better. The minimum is do the right actions, even if you don't have that kavanah. The same thing with ideals. A person who wakes up in the morning and goes to work for the sake of Zionism and the land of Israel and the Am Yisrael and humanity, obviously that's not the average person, but the more he does identify and do it with that zest and idealism, that makes him that much more godly. If he does it with less idealism, that makes him that much less godly, and that much closer to the animalistic level. Nevertheless, in other words, there are also your actions, which are important, and also your covenant, which are important, which moves you to that much higher level. Yeah.
But it seems to me that thus far, at least, Rav Kook has been talking more about hechrech, what one is forced to do, than kavanot.
Now, the hechreach was part of the previous level.
It's no longer with Poalim? There's no hechreach with Poalim?
No, it doesn't. I didn't see the word here. I think that is the major difference.
Please correct me if I misunderstood this, but what I understood from his, V'nosafal's Od Sha'adam Tzarich Mitzad Kibbutzo, that the person is working on these public projects, is so busy with these enormous tasks, is so busy with putting up this building or driving the mill truck, and is so immersed in these enormous long-term things that he's once again prevented from getting down to his breakfast early in the morning.
Again, the same answer as I said before to Gershon. The more a person identifies and does an action, not just out of necessity, but out of ideal, whether it be the third group or the fourth group or the fifth group, not the third, the fourth or the fifth, that is that much more godly. Just like with mitzvot, the same thing with ideals, right? Somebody who joins a ecological movement because he wants to have friends, or he wants to meet nice people, or he wants to meet a kallah, or whatever it is, the fact that he decides to meet his friends or to meet his future wife in an idealistic framework of, to save the ecology, even if it's not 100% lishma, that is a high level. Because Bechosov, that's where he chose to be. The fact that he chooses to be as part of the fifth group and not part of the fourth group. Now, the more you identify with the ideal, that much higher you are within the fifth group.
I thought Avida excuse me actually answering that. It just seemed to me that what Rav Kook is saying is that the very fact of the nature of the person who's working on these wider projects elevates him to a point where he's further distance from his natural needs, and therefore he can wait longer for his food. He
also, no, I understand that.
So that he does.
I understand that. That is still similar to what he was saying. Yeah, good. In other words, I understand that there are separate values to actions and kavanot. I understand that, that these concepts exist. What I'm trying to get to add is what the Maaseh is really saying here. Is he talking about both, or is he just talking like he was talking? It seemed to me with Kol Adam, seems fairly clear to me, if I'm not mistaken, that he's not talking about Kol Adam. He's really just talking about what one is forced to do, regardless of one's kavanot.
Correct. Although, even within that fourth group, a person who goes to work, even if it's just to put bread on the table for he and his family, if he's doing it for him and his family, Rav Kook doesn't relate to that here. But obviously the fact that he says if the hechreach brings him to this level, then if he does it with good intentions, it brings him to that higher level. Whereas it doesn't move him up to the fifth group, but he's 4+. Okay?
Sure. So now again, I'm sorry to once again waste time on this. So with Poalim, is he now in fact talking about not intending, but what is he? When I said talking about now both kavanot and hechreach, or is it
he still? Doesn't mention hechreach here. And somebody, the way I understand it, is by the fact that is one of the major differences between the fourth and the fifth. You're correct. In other words, that the fourth is more out of necessity. The fifth is somebody who has that much more yuzma, more initiative, as a Rosh Gadol, to be part of something, a larger project. Also for society, he's also probably going to make more money, right? But, and also within that higher category, how much more godly or idealistic he is, then he's not only 5, but 5+. Okay? Let's just finish off. Umna, kol elar chakot, all these people who wait 1 hour, or 2, or 3, or 4 hours into the day, and they don't just get into their animalistic eating. Kol chakot, ema lemi shelunu safal kol elar davar yoter nisgav. This is for those people who are not, who don't have that higher, loftier, spiritual level. Mikol archaka chevrutit linyan hatakat adam imatzavu abeimi. Somebody who has that much more distance between himself and the animalistic eating. Aval kashir tidvasef alehem hitgabrut tzido haruchani shel ha'adam. When you add the spiritual aspect to the ethical and the cultural aspect, drishat ha'chokhma ha'torah ve'adam, not just the religious, but the intellectual. Okay? Again, 4 points. Cultural is a plus. Ethical is a plus. When you add to that spiritual, that's obviously that much more of a plus. And intellectual, again, that much more of a plus. As yifne el'al, that person is really soaring on a that much higher level. Ve'hod haruchaniyut yashpil be'inav etechrecho abeimi. And his spirituality lowers in his life the animalistic necessities, the bodily necessities of eating, to as something mamash, not important. That is not one of his priorities. Ad shiyoridehu ad tachdit madrega efsharit. He lowers eating to one of the last priorities. Al ken shishit ma'achal talmidei chachamim. That's why the Talmidei Chachamim, they eat only in the sixth hour. There's a story of Rav Kook's mother, who talks about the fact that Rav Kook, there was a certain day that he was learning and he had forgotten to eat. And his mother wanted him to eat. And he was learning a Shulchan Aruch, Magen Avraham and the Taz. And correct me if I'm wrong, you speak Yiddish?
Yeah, I understand.
Magen is something like your stomach?
Magen
is stomach, right. So Rav Kook said to his mother, you're worried about Magen Avram Yitzchak. Avram Yitzchak, that was his name. You're worried about Avram Yitzchak's stomach. I'm busy learning the Magen Avram.